Right, morning, church. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, before I start the sermon, it was brought to my attention last week. I mentioned something wrongly. I was too quick in speaking. Mentioned about examples of honoring your parents, and then I missed out the word. Actually, I meant to say, don't be rude. I missed out the word, don't. All right, so my apology, my mistake. All right, today we are going to the part three of our series, and we're going to read a text of the scripture first before we go into the sermon. So any volunteers to read this a few passages? Anyone? Again, the young ones, who are the volunteers? Greg, you want to read, or Merlin, you want to read the scripture? You want to come forward? There's a mic in front. All right, the first text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 to verse 3, and then we go to Proverbs after that.
Second Timothy chapter 4, verse yes. 2 to 3.
Yep.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers.
All right, and then Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14.
Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
And then chapter 15, verse 22.
Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established.
And then Acts chapter 10, please.
Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, he descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again.
The last passage, chapter 27, the same book of Acts, and we read from 21 to 25.
But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss." And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me.
Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the different passages in the Scripture, in the Bible. Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to open the Scripture to us that we may understand, and that not only we understand, Lord, we take heed of what you have spoken, Lord, through those words. So this morning we commit the whole sermon to you, and Lord, anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity. Lord, without your anointing I speak in vain, and therefore I urgently, Lord, need the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And so I also pray, Father, Lord, that you will anoint, Father, the people here, and that they will hear, and that they will be receptive, and that they will begin to understand, apply those things in their life. We want to grow to be the sheep, Lord, that hear your voice. And so this morning, help us to understand the different passages and the different ways that you speak to us, and that we will grow in sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, and we begin to hear your word with clarity, and that we are able to obey your instruction for divine guidance, that you will be glorified in our life, that we will have good outcome whatever we do. And so we commit this morning preaching unto you in the name of Jesus, and we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, last week in my series, actually the series called Learning to Hear from God, part two of my sermon, I spoke about hearing God's voice through the Bible, through His Word. And so for those who are not here last week, a quick recap on the key points in my last sermon. As I said, the most predominant way that God speaks to us is actually through His Word, the Bible. In fact, about 80% of the cases. And so we need to hear God's voice through the written Word, the Logos. And that in the area of Logos, God revealed His view and His mind on many life issues in two ways. And first is on some issues, God's words and instructions are very explicit, very clear. For example, you know, worship God, no idols, and then honor your parents, don't commit adultery, forgive one another. Things are very explicit there. However, there are also some issues that are not clearly specified in the Bible, and they are not explicit. But for those issues, we need to look for the principle behind the word that is written in the Bible. So issues like, should I marry this person? Should I go into business partnership with that person? Is smoking right? Gambling, so on and so forth. So those, even those things are not explicitly written in the Bible, God still speaks to us through some general principle. And so those are the things pertaining to the Logos. Besides hearing God's words through the Logos, there is also the Rhema, the quickened word of God. As you read through the Bible, the word becomes alive to you. Certain segments, certain verse becomes alive to you. It becomes living, and it strikes a chord in your heart. And it is what we call the word just pop up from the pages of the Bible. And there's also something like a voice behind those words. So this is called Rhema, the quickened word of God. A now word, now, N-O-W, a now word for your life, for your issue, and also the situation that you are facing. So that is Rhema. And today, we are going into installment number 3. The title of my sermon is Hearing God's Voice Through 4 Other Ways Besides the Bible. Hearing God's voice through 4 other ways. And so the second most common way of hearing God is through sermon. Now, if you want God to speak to you, then you need to come to the church. And if you come to the church with the right posture, I am sure God will speak to you through the sermon. Because that is one of the reasons why the church is for. And you are to be taught God's word and to apply it in your personal life. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11, put it this way. Now, these are the gifts. He said, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. And that's why you and here are, you and I are gathered here every Sunday. According to this passage, I'm supposed to be God's gift to you. My job as a teacher is to equip you to do what God has called you to do, and to build up and to strengthen you as a Christian by teaching you God's word. And how can you know that I am doing the job? Now, if I'm teaching, there are moments when you feel like God is speaking directly to you on some issue, then I'm doing my job, right? Because that means that God is speaking to you through me, you know, in the sermon. Now, if I'm doing my job, that could also be moments when I'm explaining a passage and all of a sudden, you know, it's just like a bulb, a light bulb that lights up in your heart. And so I got it, I understand now what the Bible is saying, boom, like it's a revelation. So that means that God has spoken to you through me. All right, so, and if that's the case, then I'm doing my job. So that is why He gave this gift, a fivefold ministry, to the church. And for God to speak to you, you and I have to fulfill some responsibility. And so let me list out what are they. For the speaker's part, right, most of the time I speak here, so for my part, I need to take my teaching and preaching very seriously. And that means I need to pray and seek the Lord what message He wants me to speak to you, all right, every Sunday. And so for every sermon that I preach, I need to spend some time praying about the message, and also asking God to download those messages and those the words into my heart and into my mind, plus the anointing to speak those words. And of course, I also need to spend many hours to prepare. By that, I mean to research on the subject and then later on to write up the sermon. And so that I have to do. I have to fulfill my responsibility. And so I do not take it lightly. I spend many, many hours preparing the sermon for you. And so what about the congregant for your part? And you need to adopt a positive posture to hear God through the sermon. So number one, you need to pay attention during sermon time. This is the minimum requirement. Now, if you are not paying attention and thinking about something else, for example, during the sermon, you're thinking of what you're going to have for lunch, right? Then it doesn't matter what I do. You know, I can spend 10 hours praying. You know, it doesn't help, because you're not going to hear what God is speaking if you're going to think about what you're going to have for lunch, right? So you need to pay attention that God is going to speak, and then you're going to hear, right? So that's very important. Now, besides paying attention, there are also other things that you can do if you want to maximize the hearing from God. You know, a certain issue that you're facing and you want to hear from God what to do, so on and so forth, and the wisdom, how to approach those matters, then you can do other things. You pray for the speaker, and you pray for yourself before the Sunday service. And then the third thing is, of course, you must be prepared for the night before. That means no late night on Saturday. You know, party until midnight. This is to ensure that you have enough rest and you have enough sleep the night before. Otherwise, you come here very sleepy and tired and not able to pay attention on Sunday. So that is, you know, simple, right? And then, fourth thing, you need to be punctual for God's, for the church service. And this is an act of reverence, an act of reverence for God, honoring God. And that is important. You want to hear from God, you need to honor Him. You know, you cannot come with the, what I call, haphazard and flippant attitude. So, number five, come with the eagerness to hear God's word. Come with an expectation, you know, of faith, wanting to hear what God has to say. Be more concerned with what God is going to speak to you. Now, some people treat sermon listening as a tennis match. And when the sermon comes, the message comes, they hit you, you say, boom, this is for someone else, ABC. And then another message comes, you hit the ball, this is for my friend, you know, XYZ. So it's like a tennis match. And so you must not worry about, you know, God speaking to the other person that you're concerned with. You have to kind of don't worry about that, because God will speak to them. And worry about what God is going to speak to you. And so that is very important. And then the sixth thing you can do is to take down notes. Now, I make this very, very easy for you, because notes are already printed for you already, all the main points. So what you see on the slide here is already available as hard copy. And so you don't have to take notes. And then what you can do is can go home and check out on those scriptures what I say is true. Review those notes. And that will enhance your understanding, and that will give you clarity what God is speaking to you about. And then number seven, respond to the altar call when it applies to you. And so don't hesitate. You know, if the word speak to you, come forward during the altar call and you do a transaction with God, and God is going to seal that word that's been given to you. And so in doing so, your heart is like a good soil that received the word, and it will bring forth good fruit. What Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, Psalm 30, Psalm 60, and Psalm 104. Now, because we believe that God speaks through sermon, we put our sermon online, right? For you should be aware, our sermon is online on the Zion Fellowship website and also on Facebook. And we put this sermon online is because periodically some people are sick, or they have to go out of town, or they can't come here for some reasons. And so we put them up there so that you can hear the sermon and you may not want to miss it. Now, the problem is some people may adopt the wrong idea. They say, well, I don't need to come or go to church anymore because I can now stay at home and listen to pastor's sermon online. Now, let me comment on this issue of going to church and versus listening to sermon online. Now, let us see what the Bible has to say on this particular matter. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. When we say the day approaching, means the days of Jesus' second coming. In other words, we are supposed to physically assemble ourselves here in the church. Now, why? Because we are meant to worship corporately and in a physical fellowship environment, and having fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters, and also worship together physically. Now, you know that when Jesus told his disciple in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. Not gathered together online, right? Gathered together physically. And so there's something about gathering together, right? That's what we are created to do. Now, when we go to heaven, we are not going to worship God together online, right? There's no online service in heaven. We're going to be gathered together physically, so to speak. Now, that's what we are created to do, to worship and to be in fellowship face to face. And therefore, even though these sermons are online, no excuse for staying at home if you are well. Now, if you do so, you will not fully receive what God has for you in the sermon. Now, eventually, you'll come to a point where you'll stop listening and you'll fall away in your Christian faith. So, you're created to come to church to worship God and to have fellowship face to face, and to hear God speaking to you through a minister or a pastor. Now, hence, online church is an exception. It's not the norm. It's not the rule that God, or not the norm that God has ordained. And then, so this is the second way that God speaks to you, through sermon. Now, what is the third way? The third way that we can hear from God is through counsel from godly Christians. counsel from godly Christians. It can be pastors, it can be leaders, and it can be your friend. But you need to first seek the Lord in prayer for an answer to your situation first. I emphasize, you need to first seek the Lord in prayer for an answer to your situation. Because you must learn to grow, and therefore you must learn to seek the Lord first and not to rely, overly reliant on others. And so having done that, then you go and ask a godly man and woman who are spiritually matured. And that is where the Proverbs comes in. We have read a few of this scripture. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And so godly counselors act as a check and balances against some of your prejudices and carnal desire. And then another proverb says, chapter 12, verse 15. He says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." So here, you see that godly counsel enables you to look at the issue from another perspective, or from people who are wiser in this area. And then Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitudes of counselors, they are established." And so God may use the counsel of others to clarify things for you. And this additional witness, so to speak, can be an additional confirmation to assure you what you are hearing from God is of God. And it's not a strange voice from the evil one. And so our spirit must be right, meaning we sincerely want to hear from God and to obey, not selective hearing or wanting to get another or someone to agree with what we actually want to do already. Now, why it is important to go to godly and matured Christian? Now, another Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, New Life Translation says, "The godly give good advice to their friends, and the wicked lead them astray." Now, do you see that godly people give good advice? Worldly people give bad advice. Now, worse still, they lead people astray. And so, don't discount God speaking through the advice of godly people. Now, we may not realize that actually God put godly people around us and give us godly counsel that is based on God's word. And so, in essence, God is speaking to those people when you need any advice. And so, if you're going through some tough issue and you need to make a difficult decision, you need to go and need God to speak to you. Don't go to worldly friends for advice. The advice they give you will be bad and worldly advice, and it will lead you astray. Now, let me illustrate with some examples. The first one, which is quite common, marriage problem. It can be marriage problem, it can be family problem, but marriage problem. Now, it's not uncommon for couple to have some problems with marriage. And many go through or go to their worldly friends and say, I'm just not happy. I'm just not in love with my spouse any longer. First, they did not realize that all marriages go through tough patches. And so they felt like they weren't loved anymore. But then first of all, love is not just about feeling. Right? In the Bible, you read, love is not just about feeling. And so their worldly friends would give them this kind of advice. Well, that is not good. You're supposed to be happy. Maybe it's better to break up and you need to move on. And some people listen to this worldly advice and take the easy way out and get a divorce and meet somebody else and then remarry. And so guess what? They carry the same baggage that they brought into the first marriage into their second marriage. Now that doesn't work out. And so they get more worldly advice and the problem just gets repeated itself. And they end up remarried 3 times, 4 times, and 5 times. And they're wondering why. Now, the root problem is the person. God fixes the people before He fixes the marriage. And here is something that you need to understand. Happiness is not contingent upon circumstances. Happiness is contingent on our perspective of circumstances. And so when you read God's word, you will learn where happiness comes from. Now, if you are not happy with God alone, don't get married. You're just going to make another person unhappy when you get married. And so you need to develop a relationship with God until you have that basic fulfillment. And that is the time for you to get married. And so it's important for us to seek counsel from godly Christian. When you face a marriage issue, and most people don't go to godly people for counsel. Now, do you know why? Because they don't want godly counsel. Most of the time, what they want to do, or they want to do something that they know they shouldn't do. And so they go to people who is going to tell them what they want to hear. And the outcome will be bad. And so let me look at another example. The importance of seeking godly counsel. Second example is the story of King Jehoboam seeking counsel. It is found in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 15. Now, this king, Jehoboam, sought counsel from two groups of advisors. Let me give you a quick summary of the story. After Solomon's death, his son, Rehoboam, became king. And the northern tribes, led by another person called Jeroboam, asked King Rehoboam to lighten the tax burden Solomon had put on them. And Rehoboam then sought advice from two groups of people. First is the elders, the older counselor, the wiser counselor. And they advised him to serve the people with kindness and lighten their tax burden. They say it will make them loyal to him forever. But the young counselor, his peers, without any experience, and they advise him to rule with harshness, double down, increase the people's tax burden, and show their strength to maintain control over them. Now, sadly, Rehoboam rejected the godly advice of the elders, and he followed the advice of the younger men. And so, his decision led to the division of the kingdom. The 10 northern kingdoms rebelled and formed the northern kingdom of Israel under Jeroboam. And the moral lesson is this. Listen to godly and wise counsel will lead to good outcome and peace and stability. While rejecting such counsel in favor of the young and wise counselor, happens is it will result in bad outcome of division and conflict. And so, important for us to seek godly counsel because it matters in your life. And so that is the third way of hearing from God. What about the fourth way? The fourth way of hearing from God is through His audible voice. Now, does God speak to us in audible voice? The question I'm going to raise. Now, for that, we have to again turn to the Bible for answers. Now, we read from Acts chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 16. When Peter visited Joppa, he saw a vision of a great sheet that came down from heaven, and in it were actually all sorts of unclean animals. Then a voice came to him. He said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And then Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." And as you know, the Jews, they thought that they are supposed to eat kosher meal. And so to them, all these beasts, all those unclean, like pigs and all this, they are unclean. They will never eat those things. And then a voice came to him a second time and say, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." And then this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into heaven, into the sky. And so the answer from this scripture is that God can and does speak to us in the audible voice, because the scripture says that a voice came to him. And this is not the only scripture, that the other parts of the scripture as well, but this example will suffice. And so, but I must say that God speaking to us in audible voice is very, very rare. And so the next question is, we want to ask is, what is God's voice like? Now, again, we have to turn to the scripture. The first is taken from the story of Samuel in Samuel chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 10. Now, Samuel was actually a young lad serving the high priest Eli. And one night, he was sleeping in the tabernacle and he heard a voice calling him, Samuel. And Samuel then responded by running to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." Then Eli said, "No, I did not call you. Lie down again." And so Samuel went back to his bed. And then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And so Samuel rose and went to Eli again and saying, "Here I am, for you called me." Now after three times, Eli taught Samuel saying, "If God calls you again, you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hear.'" Now, what does this passage tell us? Samuel thought that it was Eli calling him. Then after this thing happened three times, Eli had to bring it to his attention. No, it's God's audible voice. Now, unlike what Hollywood movie like to portray, when God speaks to his people, it's like an ordinary voice with no special sound effect. And so God's voice is ordinary, not thunderous or booming or sounds or sense around. Now, what about another story? The second story is that of Elijah. And he was fleeing from Queen Jezebel. And in that story, Prophet Elijah was desperate to hear God's voice. And then he was led by God to stand on a mountain. And then the Lord passed by, followed by a big storm with a violent wind that broke the rocks in pieces. And God's voice was not in the wind. And then after the wind, a great earthquake. But the Lord's voice was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord's voice was not in the fire. And then after the fire came a still, small voice of the Lord that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Many are looking for very supernatural and dramatic voice, when most of the time, God speaks to us through a still, small voice. In the examples of Samuel and Elijah. Now, some people wonder, why did God choose to speak to his people through a still, small voice? Now, for that question, I'd like to tell you an anecdotal story. Now, a young man lost his job for several months, and he got anxious, and he went to the pastors, and he said, "I beg and beg for God to speak, and he never did. Why does God not speak?" And then the old and wise pastor sat across the room, spoke so softly in his reply. The young man could not hear. So he moved closer, nearer. And then he asked the pastor, "What did you say?" And then the pastor spoke in softly again. Then the young man moved closer, much closer. "What did you say?" And then the old and wise pastor then said, "Often, God whispers so that we'll move very close, closer and closer and very close and be intimate with Him." And so that is the point. Back to the question, what and how does God's voice sound like? In short, the voice of God is described as a still, small voice that is peaceful and gentle. It is very rare to hear God's audible voice. Now, there was a sister in the church was seeking the Lord about our next property to purchase. And there was a small voice that she heard. It was a still, small voice, 90 degrees north. And so, I would now want to share my experience. So far in my spiritual life of 50 over years, I have only heard God's audible voice once. Now, then I was asking God the same question several times for a few months. And then one day, out of a sudden, I heard a small, soft, and clear audible voice. Have you considered this? Just once, have you considered this? Now, I did not freak out because it was a soft, gentle, and a clear audible voice. Now, if it is a loud, booming voice, I would have freaked out. But I'm quite certain it was God's voice. Because during that time in my house, there was no other person around. Yet, there was this soft, audible voice. Now, I wish I can hear more of God's audible voice. And so, next time, if you long for to hear this God's audible voice, don't change your mindset. It's going to be a soft, audible voice, ordinary voice. But you just have to be very quiet. You know, in a very noisy environment, most likely you won't be able to hear that soft, audible voice. And then now I come to the fifth way of hearing from God, and that is through His angel. Now, here are some examples of angelic visitation. First story is that of Gideon. In the book of Judges, as you know, chapter 6, Gideon was at the threshing floor. And then suddenly an angel appeared to him, telling him that God has appointed him to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, the oppressor. So God speaking to him through an angel. And then second story, the book of story of Daniel, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, while Daniel was still praying, and then an angel, Gabriel, appeared and told him about the prophetic future of Israel. So second example of God speaking through an angel. And then the third example is that of Paul, the scripture that we just read, earlier part of the sermon. And this is a New Testament example. I tried to give the Old Testament and then New Testament to show that it applies. Whether New Testament or Old Testament, it applies. Now, in this case, an angel appeared to Paul during a storm, saying that the ship that he was traveling on would run aground, but no life would be lost. And so, that was the third example. Now, though God may speak to us through angels, but don't be obsessed with angels, lest you are deceived by the evil ones. Colossians 2:18. Now, some people get very overly fascinated by some mystical experience, by some of these mystical practices. And so they actually sought to converse with angels, so much so that they prefer to converse with angels than with our Lord Jesus. I'm talking about the longing in their heart. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 18 warned us. He said, there are those who delight in the worship of angels. And then as a result, they are being led astray. And they became puffed up. It reminds us of the importance of focusing on the Lord Jesus. And let me give you a couple of examples. First example, there was a renowned prophet from Kentucky, USA. And his name is called Billy Graham. Not Billy Graham, but Billy Graham. Alright? Most likely, most of you have not heard of him, except the older generation. Like me. Alright? And so he started off well spiritually, but his ending was tragic. Now, he had many angelic encounters. And he, as a result, he received many revelations. And many of the prophecies and the word of knowledge that he gave to the congregation, very, very accurate and very, very astounding. Unfortunately, Later, he degenerated into erroneous and weird teaching. Like he teach things like Eve had sex with Satan, so on and so forth. All kinds of weird teaching. And so near the end of his life, he was found to be an alcoholic. And so sadly, his life was cut short in a very tragic car accident. So someone who started well, I don't know how he ended up having a lot of these angelic encounters and then more engrossed with those things than with the Lord Jesus. And then unfortunately, his life, the end of his life was tragic. And then second example, there was also another person called Joseph Smith. And he was the founder of the Mormons cult. And he said that an angel visited him and told him that the current Bible that he is holding is incomplete. And then there needs to be additional holy scripture called the Book of Mormons for this Bible to be complete. Now obviously he was deceived by the fallen angels. And so suffice to say that in the last days, angelic manifestation would be more frequent. Right? And so it says in the Bible that the devil will come as angel of light. Now, for him to deceive you, he will not come with, you know, a fork or two horns. Right? He will come as an angel of light, trying to deceive you. So to avoid deception, we should be men and women of the Word, of the Bible, and prayer. It is good to have angelic encounter, but we need to exercise caution. Don't be overly obsessed with angels. Remember, angels minister on behalf of God to us. They are not to be worshipped. And so according to the scripture, we need to test them, whether they are of God or otherwise. As I said, they are good angels and they are fallen angels. And so the Bible admonishes us to test them. How? You ask them whether they are willing to confess these two statements as taught in the Bible. Get them to confess that Jesus is Lord. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And then the second thing is whether they are willing to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who comes in the flesh. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 to verse 3. If they are willing to do so, then these angels are of God. Otherwise, they are of the evil spirit. Now you may ask me, why? What is so big deal about these two statements? You know, maybe they kind of fake it, they just say it, but they don't mean it. I don't know. Because the scripture teaches us, so we just obey. There are some of these things I don't fully understand. But if the scripture says this is how you test them, then this is how the way you test them. I think I shared this once. Pastor Irene and myself were in Indonesia, were doing a mission trip. We went to this house, I don't know what you call this, a hospital or house where they, you know, all the people who are mentally have got problems, they go there and then they go through a period of rehab. And so we're trying to speak to this man about the Lord Jesus. And then while he was receptive, so-called, to what we are trying to share, but we sensed that there was a mocking voice coming through his mouth. And we sense something is not wrong. Something is wrong, sorry. And so we begin to, I think the Spirit prompted us to this scripture. And then we asked him to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who comes in the flesh. He couldn't do it for some reason. So we can sense that it's the evil spirit operating through him when he speaks, when he's trying to mock what we told him. So some of these spiritual things you cannot fully understand why. Maybe when they do this, something happens to them. I don't know, right? But this is what the scripture taught us. So whenever you have angelic encounter or visitation and you have some doubt, then test them. Please confess Jesus is Lord. Please confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who comes in the flesh. If they are not willing to do so, then they are not of God. So, in closing, the most prominent way to speak to us is through the Bible. That's why we need the Bible. It's written in black and white, both the Logos and the Rhema. However, there are also other ways that God speaks to us besides the Bible. And there are four other ways that we learn today. And through the sermon. And then the second is the counsel from godly, matured Christian. And then the third way is God's audible voice. And then the fourth way is His angels. Now, this is not it, because there are other ways that we can hear from God, which I will cover in my next sermon. So, may we continue to learn what are different ways that God speaks to us and grow in our ability to hear God's voice and to obey Him. So, shalom to you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's prepare and ourselves to sing the last praise song. If you need any prayer, you just make your way to the front and we'll pray with you. Thank you.